Hello, friends, and welcome to the Everyday Truth Podcast with Kurt Skelly. Our purpose is to show you that the Bible is relevant to your life every single day. We're glad you joined us here for the conversation as we're challenged from the book of 1 Samuel to let God lead. Now let's hear what Kurt has to say.
Welcome back, friends, to yet another episode of Everyday Truth. We are intending to, and I think we'll make it, to finish chapter 4 today, 1 Samuel chapter 4. If you've been following along, we're kind of a dark moment in Israel's history where Eli, the high priest, has died, having heard the news about the captured Ark of God, the additional news about the death of his own sons and the slaughter of his own people. It doesn't get any worse than what Eli is facing in 1 Samuel chapter 4. And the bad news continues to come, because we are in verse number 19. So let me, John, if I can, I'll read this section, which is only 4 verses long, and we might give you a minute or two back today. Look at verse number 19. And his daughter-in-law, so this is the daughter-in-law of Eli, specifically Phinehas's wife. So Phinehas was the younger of the two. Typically in the Bible, names are given in by age. So we're assuming Phinehas was the younger of the two. And so Phinehas had a wife who was pregnant. The Bible says that his daughter-in-law, Phinehas' wife, was with child, near to be delivered. So she's at the end of her term. And when she heard the tidings that the Ark of God was taken and that her father-in-law and her husband were dead, she bowed herself and travailed. Excuse me a second. Of all the times for me to leave my phone on, I never do this, but I left my phone on today. So I think for the first, maybe the second time in Everyday Truth history, you actually heard my phone ring. So sorry about that, my friends, but hey, it happens every now and then, and we just try to keep it real here. So I've got it on Do Not Disturb. I think we'll be good. Let's go back to Phinehas's wife, who's pregnant and about to give birth. She gets this horrible news about the death of her father-in-law and her husband, and the fact that the Ark of God has been taken. Just all of it puts her into premature labor. She bowed herself and travailed. Her pains came upon her. Look at verse number 20. I got to flip my page here. And about the time of her death, so now she's giving birth to this baby boy, as we shall see, and she's going to die in childbearing. And the woman that stood by her said unto her, "Fear not, for thou hast borne a son." But she answered not, neither did she regard it. She didn't even respond. Verse number 21, and she named the child Ichabod, saying, "The glory is departed from Israel, because the Ark of God was taken, and because of her father-in-law and her husband." And she said, "The glory is departed from Israel, for the Ark of God is taken." John, I tell you, I read this passage, and I can't think of a more depressing scenario than this.
This is just a very sad passage of scripture. I mean, what a way to end chapter 4. Starts off terribly. People don't respond right. The Philistines just beat him terribly. Eli now dies. And now that Phinehas' wife hears the news, to say the wind is blown out of her sails would be an extreme understatement. I mean, she is just, as you talked about, premature labor. The baby is born. The women tell her, "Hey, you have a son." You know, to her, having a son would have been a huge deal. You've had a son. At this point, I can just envision she doesn't care. I mean, she is just despondent, discouraged, down. This is, as you mentioned, we started a little bit ago, this is a dark day in Israel's history. I mean, this is just utter despair on the part of Eli, who's now dead, and Phinehas' wife. It just doesn't get much darker than this as far as people's responses in Scripture.
Think about how quickly things can change. No doubt when she first found out she was pregnant, so she would have found out 8 months before. The Israelites weren't even in battle yet. Hophni and Phinehas, her brother-in-law and her husband, and Eli, her father-in-law, was in charge, and they were living the high life in Shiloh, and things were well. Her husband was respected. They had all that they could eat and enjoy. It just seemed like life was good. And yet in one term of pregnancy, everything has changed. And this day that she no doubt looked forward to as a highlight day. John, I'm sure that you can remember well the birth of your little baby girls.
Yes.
Years ago. Just what an awe-inspiring day that was. And the joy, the unmitigated joy that fills your heart when your children are born, to have the midwives and those attending her trying to encourage her by, you've given birth to a son, and for her not even to respond, like, I don't care. And then for her to name her child Ichabod, which literally means the glory has departed, what a depressing foreshadow of what she anticipates her son's life to be.
And what a, you know, I just think on a side note, what a sad name to give your child. I mean, her last act is to give her son a name that just screams out, the glory has departed. I mean, what a bad way to end your life as this mom here. But it does foreshadow how things are going to get worse in Israel. They're not going to get better right now. But what a sad day that this has turned out to be, all because Israel has gotten the wrong idea about what is necessary to worship God properly, what is necessary to have a right relationship with God. And I see even here, Pastor, as she names her son Ichabod, in the last part of this verse, she says, the glory is departed, for the ark of God is taken. Again, she's emphasizing the piece of furniture. Yes, without doubt, yes, it was bad that it was taken, but she emphasizes the ark of God. That is why she says the glory is departed, not thinking that not necessarily is the glory of God associated with the ark. Now, I realize the glory of God dwelt over the Ark of the Covenant, but before the ark was ever built, thousands of years before the ark was built, there were people that followed God. Now, we don't have the Ark of the Covenant. God's glory is not solely contingent at all upon the Ark of the Covenant, but for her, that is a symbolic representation, and she dies sadly, depressed because of this. But again, I think even in her heart, there was a problem with more of an emphasis upon the material than actual God in that relationship with God.
And the implication is God's gone.
Right.
No hope. And there never will be hope. Yeah. The glory has departed. It's not, you know, there's a temporary, we're going through a setback. Hey, this is a speed bump. God's chastising us. It's a statement of utter futility and despair. The glory has departed. I want my son's life to be identified by that. So whenever anybody sees my son, remember in Bible days, names were so significant. When people call my son's name, I want them to think about our family. I want them to think about our nation, and I want them to know that, you know, God gave up on us. God's gone. The ark is gone. We have no hope. I mean, you talk about an inferiority complex for a kid every time he hears his name growing up. You know, God's gone. No hope. No hope. This is utter failure.
You know, I think today how that Satan loves to get us into a place of discouragement, even depression, thinking there is no hope. Hope is necessary as we face our day-by-day lives. God has begotten us into a lively hope. We have every reason to have great hope. And I love in the New Testament how the word hope is used, not something we just wish for, but a confident expectation. And as you mentioned, she doesn't have that at all. She thinks it's over. God is gone. My son is Ichabod, is a memorial for this event. And she has no hope, and she dies terribly. And Satan wants to get people defeated today by thinking that there is just no hope for tomorrow. And when people think there is no hope for tomorrow, the human mind can go anywhere in depression and do terrible things because they think all hope is gone.
You know, I know that you might be a mom or dad out there, a grandma or grandpa, and you're thinking, well, I would never give my child that name. And yet we do. Because your attitude and your theology about God is the identity that your children will assume. You grow up negative. Your kids grow up around you. You're critical. You are faithless. You're vulgar. You're apathetic toward the things of God. Then believe me, that will be their identity as it relates to God and to the people around them. She gave Ichabod his identity. Now, did he live out that identity? I'm not sure. But what's striking to me, John, is that when the Lord called people in the Bible, so often he would give them a new name. Why? Because our old name oftentimes betrays what we shouldn't be, a deceiver, a supplanter, as in Jacob's case, or just a ruler like Abram, not the ruler of many people, of father of many nations like Abraham. And you know, God is in the name-changing business. That's what transformation can do when Jesus gets a hold of a life. And I'd like to think that Ichabod got another chance somewhere along the way. We don't know, but I do know this. Ichabod lived to see the glory return. Ichabod lived long enough to know that there was a young lad that slew a giant. If you just study the chronology, if he lived a normal lifetime, he would have heard about that. So I wonder if even Ichabod was reclaimed by the Lord as he saw that even my mother's negativity and even the defeat of the Eli family was not realized in my life. I'm not sure.
Well, that's a great thought and a great observation, Pastor. And I think about Psalm 78. Psalm 78, the psalmist talks about how that he will teach children. He'll teach young people, teach children the word of God, what God has done and God's greatness, so they might remember God, they might trust God, they might hope in God, so they won't be like their parents' generation. I don't know if that happened, Ichabod, but it would be great to think that that did happen in his life. I do know throughout Scripture it happened to some people where their parents were just terribly wicked, no hope in God, but the next generation followed God aright. And there always is that hope for the next generation that whereas this one may not be right, the next one can get right with God and follow God.
I think about names in the Bible, in the New Testament. I think about Demas, short for Demetrius, named after a Greek god. Certainly his parents were not Christians. Christian parents don't name their children after false gods. But Demas got saved. And I know that we look at Demas today as a negative name because he betrayed Paul in Rome. But, you know, for a season, Demas was a great worker for God. You see him in that list in Colossians chapter 4 or at the end of the book of Philemon, a man that was faithful, that served Paul and consorted with people like Mark and Luke and Epaphras and others. And I think about just the fact that a name can be reclaimed. And you might be out there today, my friend, and think, you know, I was given a bad start by my mom and dad. You know, I was raised with my name not meaning much or my family name. But God can change that. And you might have Ichabod written across your life. But God is greater, and you can trust him. And God can bring glory out of ashes. God did some wonderful things to show himself strong in regard to the very ark that Phinehas' wife thought would never, ever come back. God did bring about a great change. And that great change for us is found in the person of Jesus. If you've never trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, that's where the new name comes. That's where the re-identification comes. It comes through Christ. So I hope that helps today. Hope you have a great rest of your day. Appreciate you listening in. And we will talk to you next episode. God bless, my friends.
Thanks for taking time to listen. If everyday truth matters to you, go ahead and subscribe to the podcast or share it with a friend. Until next time, God bless.